Hi, welcome to the Barry Nation podcast, where we support the bariatric community with humor, humility, and honesty. I'm April.
I'm Jason.
And I'm Natalie.
And today, if you are watching, you see that we have one of our favorite Barry Nation experts joining us, Miss Jeannie. Hi, Fred.
Hello.
We are so excited. This is the very first time that you've been on the podcast, but you have been a very active expert in the Barry Nation community because you are a registered dietitian. And you have a way of presenting information to people in the most kind, yet like ninja-like delivery, right? Like, this is really great, but boom. And all of a sudden you're like, I did not know that. And your content is so holistic, right? You really help bariatric patients, not only from a nutritional standpoint, but you help us understand, like last week, it was on sleep. Like, hey, did you know that your sleep could be impacting your nutrition and what your body's doing with food? It's just a very different approach, and we so appreciate it. So we're so excited that we get to actually like talk with you today.
Have you ever wished you had a dedicated bariatric buddy to help guide you along your weight loss journey? Well, guess what? You can find that person. Patient Partner connects pre-op bariatric patients to vetted post-op bariatric patients who help and encourage each other along the way. Patient Partner helps you feel more empowered, prepared, and supported through your surgery by connecting you to a community of recovered patients so you can move forward with confidence. Click the link in our Instagram bio to learn how you can take advantage of this free service and follow Patient Partner at patient_partner.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So if people are listening or watching and they have never interacted with you before, give us a little bit of information about you.
So my name is Jeannie Boyer. I've been a dietitian for 18 years and 16 of those have been in bariatrics. So I think that's where the ninja skill comes from. Like I've seen it all, heard it all, felt it all. And right now I work part-time in a clinic. So I'm in it still, but then I have my own business of helping people in the years after surgery, once they're struggling with regain and just that getting back on track. And that's what I focus on my own. So it's what I love to do and have been doing for a long time.
Well, and the other thing that really just dawned on me, you've been in it so long. You have seen bariatric surgery go from something that was so rare, very high risk, very like, ooh, you know, big deal, to now very mainstream, right? Where people are talking about it. It's just kind of a normal thing now. So you've really seen how it's gone from one to the other.
Oh, yeah.
And I would imagine your supports have shifted as well.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. Well, and we were talking to Sam too recently, and he was just commenting on how the research has grown and the collective knowledge about nutrition and bariatric nutrition especially has just blossomed because more and more people are undergoing the surgery. And I think more community members are saying like, hey, I really need help and support. And what you provided was not it. So what is the answer here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot more standards too. Like, years ago, any surgeon this was a surgical offering, but now it's like there's centers of excellence and there's societies of study and recommendations and more data collection about what keeps people successful. So there's a lot more out there.
Awesome. Well, today's conversation is going to be right up your alley. We are talking about protein. And specifically, we really want to know just kind of the basics, right? Like protein 101, what is it? Why do we need it, especially after bariatric surgery? What functionality does it serve in our bodies? And then what are kind of the best sources of protein, right? Like we all know we're all kind of on the same page. Food is not contraband. There's room for everything. But we do have to acknowledge that there are some good and then some better sources for our protein. So the conversation is really just going to be very heavy, very all protein, not macros in general. We just want to know about this very crucial macronutrient for us. So I don't know, friends, you guys ready? Should we do it? Should we dive in?
Let's do it.
All right, here we go. So first things first, Jeannie, what is protein?
So it is what provides structure in our body. Like, protein is what makes up the cells, what, you know, we know it's muscle, but it's also tissue building. So, when you get, a cut like you need protein to heal that and make those cells to heal. It's part of ligaments, tendons, muscles, like skin. It's everywhere. So it's not just muscles and meat, like it's structure and tissue and building.
Okay. I'm just a little bit, now I'm feeling really like a dum-dum, but I never thought of it that way. I didn't realize that it was like at the cellular level. Like it is critically important then. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah, it's funny when I was working on a Berry Nation session about macros. And I never thought of this before to say that like protein is not just muscles and meat, but that's what it is out there. That's what it's advertised as, and promoted and sold. But
yeah.
Well, yeah. Cause you see all these protein shakes, like the first thing comes to mind, muscle milk.
Oh, right.
Yeah. We're all programmed to think protein equals big, strong muscles. Mm-hmm. Like that's literally our society. But I mean, collagen is a protein. We need that for healthy skin, nails, mm-hmm. hair, you know, and et cetera. So it makes sense that it is considered that building block.
Yeah.
I just never realized it was that essential. I mean, I thought it was essential, but not like that, like, oh my God, your body's going to like liquefy if you don't have it. Type of thing. I mean, that's crazy. That is crazy.
And it's not, I mean, that's like, we're talking structure, but it's also enzymes, like the enzymes that make reactions happen in your body are made up of, if we get to the little PC parts of protein, amino acids. So it's enzymes, it's signals, it's reactions, like metabolic reactions. A lot of hormones are made up of amino acids or protein. So hormone signaling, like it's kind of crazy when you break it down to look at amino acids and what they do. Yeah.
Well, and that kind of goes into the other question that we really wanted to get to. And we know this because we've had lots of conversations with people kind of about protein over the years as we've grown in our own understanding, but not all protein is created equal, right? Because there is protein that is not complete. And we hear this often in our community. So what is the difference between a complete protein versus an incomplete protein? And how do we know if one is complete or incomplete?
So the names complete and incomplete come from what our bodies can create. Like our bodies are pretty cool and can make a lot of amino acids. But there are 9 that they say are essential. And so we can't make those, like we have to get them from what we're eating. So when they call something a complete protein, it means it's giving you all those 9 amino acids that you can't make on your own. And an incomplete is not. And an incomplete could have 8 of them, but if it doesn't have all 9, it's incomplete.
I literally had to mute myself because I have to grab my notebook so that I can write this down. And I know you guys are like, Jason knew exactly what I was doing because I was like frantically like, oh my God, where is my thing? But you said a lot of really important things there. The number one thing that really sticks out to me is that our body can't make all of these things, which is why ensuring that we are eating most of our protein from that complete source ensures that we're getting those nutrients that we can't get anywhere else, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Can we get those amino acids outside of protein? So do they live in other like food groups, or is it just protein is the most efficient way to get them?
So you'd even have to break down protein in like the animal and plant sources. So the most efficient, like the easiest way to know is animal. Like if you're eating chicken, steak, shrimp, fish, like you're getting them. But if you're eating beans, tofu, mushrooms, you're not, those foods in and of themselves are not a complete protein. But to make it even more like mind-blowing and confusing, if you have enough of a combination, you're good. So we used to, like when I was first in school to become a dietitian, when we talked about vegetarians, it was like, you have to do all this combining, like you eat beans and rice together so that you get a complete protein at one time. And now the science is like, it doesn't need to be eaten at the same time. Just your overall diet should include enough variety to give you what you need.
Oh, okay. And as a bariatric patient, that can be a little bit challenging because I'm assuming that in a smaller volume or quantity of protein, you're getting a higher amount, right? So then we should stop giving Jason a hard time for eating so many ribs because he's actually doing his body the good thing because he's getting the most amount of protein in the small serving.
Yeah, that's like maybe a tangent here. Like you can be a vegetarian and a successful bariatric patient, but it's hard. And initially after surgery, when you're sensitive, when your pouch or your sleeve or your stomach is so small, the most efficient way is going to be animal-based proteins because you get enough protein, you get a complete protein in an egg, in, you know, 2 ounces of chicken.
Okay.
Well, because I know for myself personally, when I was post-op, it took me 6 months to be able to stomach lettuce at all. So I can't imagine trying to get any of the fibrous vegetables, trying to gain even close to enough protein out of those to be able to, to be able to pull that off. I just could not. But the, you know, the funny thing was, is my stomach worked perfectly fine for protein shakes and meat and all those things. Cause everybody's like, oh, don't do steak. And I'm like, steak was like down, no problem. Didn't have any issues. Like, I was living my best life. I was like, you mean all I have to do is eat steak and I'm good? Like, they're like, yep. I was like, sold, I'm in.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was crazy how it worked for me. Cause I mean, I know it's not the same for everybody, but it just happened to work perfectly for me.
Yeah. And that right after surgery, when you're losing weight so fast, the risk is muscle wasting because of those amino acids in that amino acid pool, since you can't eat enough. And if you're not eating enough protein, your body's going to break down the protein it has access to, muscles, to get all those amino acids that it needs. So that's why it's such a push. And I in the clinic, sometimes I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm setting people up maybe for difficulty later because I'm like, you got to get protein. We got to get this much. I want you to eat this. I actually am like, I don't care if you eat a vegetable or for months. Right now they'll come back because I want to maintain that muscle mass during the rapid weight loss.
Yeah. Cause I know pre-op, even at my heaviest at 468 pounds, I was tested. My lean muscle mass was 233 pounds. So at 0% body fat, I would still weigh 233 pounds. However, I know for a fact I'm nowhere near that now. Even though I've lost 191 pounds, I know my muscle mass is way different. Even though I've incorporated going back to the gym and doing all those things, I know it's not near the same that it was.
Mm-hmm. Well, right. And I think just after such a rapid change, your body's going to lose it from everywhere. And the name of the game, I think, is to be so educated and just be so aware about the impact that your nutrition is having on your recovery. But to know that you can make those gains up when you have your strength and your stamina back, right? Definitely. And like what we always tell people in our community, because we get the question all the time about like, well, are protein shakes good or are they bad or I just don't know? And we always say like, you know, food is not contraband. And if we're hitting our goals, then we are doing the right thing. And if some days that means that you are relying just on protein shakes, that's okay. On other days, if it's tofu, awesome. If it's chicken, whatever. If you're hitting those goals in a way that's meaningful and valuable to you, then you're doing the right thing for yourself, right? We don't want to demonize people for doing whatever they can do to hit their goals. And after surgery, right, your taste buds change. I mean, I don't know about you guys, Jason and Nat, but I stocked up on Premier Protein and I couldn't touch the stuff after surgery. It was hard.
I still don't like protein shakes, really. I mean, I don't reach for them because the sweeteners, the milky aftertaste, like I will have one every once in a while. I incorporate protein shakes into overnight oats and other ways that I can put them in, but I do not. I mean, I remember that first, and I also don't like bone broth, which was, yeah, I know, controversial, but I really don't like it that much. Yeah, I know. I really don't like it. tangent, but like there was a point after surgery where I just felt like I smelled like bone broth, like I like giving off the aroma of bone broth, and it made me really sick and I hated it. So I didn't like bone broth that much. I didn't really like protein shakes that much. So then it was really hard for me to get in my protein those first 3-4 weeks of surgery. I ended up just sucking it up and drinking what I could, but those things are kind of hard when your palates change. I mean, I loved a certain brand of protein shakes beforehand and I stocked up on them. And then the day after surgery, I was like, this makes me want to vomit. Like, this is horrible. It's tough.
I still drink one a day. Every morning I drink one and it's the happiest. I just love it. It's the greatest thing ever. I just knock down my little 10 ounces and call it good. But yeah. See, I was the same way with bone broth. And I felt so bad because Sarah went in and she doctored it all up and like worked on it to make it good, brought it to me. I took one little sip and was like, I don't know what the hell that is. I was like, but I don't ever want to see it again. I was like, that's just disgusting. So I felt bad because she worked on it, but I was just like, nah. But she, luckily she loves it. So she just drank it herself. But I was just like, Nope, I could not. I was not a brother.
You know, the power of this conversation is all three of us have had very different experiences with protein. I choose to eat a little bit more plant-based protein now. Jason, you got your tried and true. Nat, you've got yours as well. But we've all found success. And we did so because we weren't afraid to go, you know what, this doesn't seem to be sitting well, or this isn't appealing, or, oh, I heard somebody tried this, I'm going to try that, right? Being an experiment in our own journey, as we talk about often, we just don't know what we don't know. And it's also okay to give ourselves some space from cooking food. I know I had to straight break up with food and I relied on protein shakes for months because I was so over food. You guys remember, Jason, I think I knew you then when I was going through that. And I was like, I am not cooking. I'm done. Peace out, Grady. Good luck. Godspeed. I'm done. I'm going to be liquid food forever. Not sustainable, turns out. But I had to take that break, and thank God there were these convenience foods there for me to move me through that stage. Mm-hmm. That's one of the other things we kind of want to talk to you about too, Jeannie, is sometimes these convenience food are villainized in our community, right? Like, we should only be, you know, whole food or plant-based, or, you know, oh, it's bad, bad, bad. But the flip side to that is, well, what do I do if I really have an aversion to food now? Or what do I do if I just can't eat that much? Are the convenience foods where we need to go sometimes?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, short answer, easy answer, yes. Long answer, like, it's awesome. Talk about the years I've been doing this. Like, when I started, there was no Premier protein. Like, it was weird powders and one bar, I think. So it's nice that there's such so many options and different flavors and savory or not, or powder or liquid or whatever.
Yeah.
And I preach this a lot, like, know thyself. It's really like, as time goes by, knowing yourself, like, are you eating this protein bar because it's sitting in your pocket and it's protein? Like, I do that. I can't keep them in my office because they're good and they're sitting there. Like, so they have a place. They're very useful. I think they're also can be really useful for travel. It's just another tool in your toolbox. Yeah. They don't need to be villainized. It's just check yourself.
That's one of my favorite parts about traveling with bariatric friends. Like, when we went to when we were at the retreat or Renew or anywhere we go, you know, you can always rely on a bariatric friend to have something in their purse, in their bag, or in their room. Either they've got your vitamin. Exactly. They got a vitamin, they got a protein bar, they got, you know, something that you can go to. Cause there are times that we just don't want to be caught off guard. And there are moments where we can rely on those convenience foods. Just knowing that they can be a part of this balanced bariatric life that we're striving for is key, right? To success. Cause you really need to hit those protein goals as you move through.
Right. So we talked about like the early stages when you need it to maintain your muscle mass. Long-term, protein is satiety. Like, protein keeps you fuller. It's denser. It sits heavy in your stomach. So that's the other reason there's such a focus on it, is that it's going to help you stay full.
Yeah.
So
for longer.
That's it. When we talk about the bars and the shakes and the protein stuff, that's something to think about. If you're depending on them, are they giving you that full factor? Because sometimes they don't. Like sometimes a shake over time isn't keeping you full because it's liquid and it's not sitting in your stomach.
Yeah, that's how I feel like with, I guess, with protein shakes. And also, you know, certain protein bars, they don't sit with us. We all love Built Bars. The three of us love Built Bars, but I don't eat those to feel full. I eat those if I'm craving chocolate or if I'm craving something sweet at the end of the day, because I know that it fits within my macros and it's delicious. They're good. But I don't eat them now to feel full, because my capacity has gotten bigger. You know, before I could eat a Built Bar and feel pretty full and happy about it. But, you know, a year plus out, I'm not reaching for a Built Bar when I'm hungry. I'm reaching for beef jerky, eggs, you know, those more protein dense foods, because those do keep me fuller longer.
Yeah. So the other question that we get often, and I think we know the answer to this, but we want to make sure everybody in the world does. Collagen is a very popular supplement in our community, right? It in the conversations that we've had with other dietitians, it's one of those supplements, right, that you need to commit to taking for like basically the rest of your life, because that's how that works. But sometimes collagen is marketed as a protein because it is a protein, but it's not complete, correct? It's missing some of those essential amino acids. Okay.
Right. And it depends on the product. Like there's some that I've looked at that are just collagen. So they are an amino acid, but they're not a full protein. And labeling gets weird. Like there's some that I've looked at myself and I've got on a dietitian listservs and been like, what is this? Because if protein has 4 calories a gram and this has 10 grams of protein, it should be 40 calories, but it says it's 10. Like what's happening? I don't.
Math there. Oh, you going deep on the label.
Like Ooh. That it gets me fired up. So I'm like, how did you do this? Like, so sometimes the collagen is just collagen. But sometimes there's products that it's mixed with other things. So it gives you more total protein. But I looked it up the other, like a year or so ago, because I'm like, I mean, I'm not 20. I'd like to look 20. Like, is collagen going to take all my wrinkles away? But it doesn't because of that. Well, I should say it doesn't. It might not because of that amino acid pool. Like our bodies are smart. So if you need enzyme ABC and I need collagen to build that, or I need this protein to make that happen, that's what your body's going to do. So unless you need the collagen for hair, skin, nails, it's going somewhere else where it's needed first. So it's interesting that it's so trendy, but it fills the function that your body needs it to do, not what you're hoping for.
So you mean your body doesn't read the label and just know where to put it?
I know. Like I'm eating this to go right here.
Dude, that's
wild. Well, I have a question then, because you know, that now we also hear, you know, collagen isn't a complete protein, but if you just add it into your protein powder, like that'll make it complete. Is that true, or is that like a gray area?
I mean, you're getting your complete protein from the powder, and the collagen is just extra. Kind of backwards the sentence. Instead of collagen becoming complete, it's just add on to the complete protein from the powder.
Okay.
Yep.
And so,
I was going to say, what I've also noticed too, is that, right. So in March we're focusing on tracking. So I've got an app I've been using, Lose It. And I've been scanning different collagens that I have in my house. And some of them, none of them have come up. So like if the label on the back says this has like 20 grams of collagen, cool. But if I look at the label on the back, it'll say 8 grams of protein. Mm-hmm. So then I'm like, okay, so there's 20 grams of collagen, which is helping for hair, skin, and nails, but it's counting as 8 grams of complete protein. Mm-hmm. And then I've also noticed too, that sometimes when I scan something, it will say like, if the bottle says like 10 grams of protein, and then I scan it and it says 10 grams of protein, I'm looking on that label, because what I've noticed, and I've seen it on the Obvi ones, which I appreciate, Obvi lists out every single amino acid that's included in their collagen lineup. So, and they're very truthful. It is not a complete protein because it's missing like two out of the, about of all of them, but they still tell you that. So when I scan the Obvi, it's like, oh, it's 8 grams of protein, but it's 10 grams of collagen. And I'm like, okay, I'm starting to understand this now. Mm-hmm. And I think when it comes to collagen too, I have stopped treating it as, oh, I'm getting my protein in. Nope. Collagen is not protein. It is, but it's not how my brain wants to use it. It's kind of like how I used to use like, oh, I worked out so I can eat more. No. I'm separating workout and my weight because that is not, I can't do that to myself. So collagen is collagen and I'm doing that for hair, skin, and nails. And then protein is something different and I'm doing it for that. And I've been able to separate the two. And since I've been doing that, it's helped me really focus on hitting my protein goal without the collagen. Both are doing good things for me. I'm happy that I'm doing them, but just by taking them, splitting them up, it's allowed me to focus more on very compartmentalized nutrition.
Yes.
Okay.
Ooh, she got the seal of approval.
Collagen is something else. It's like, hey, I'm going to take some extra vitamin C during cold season. Like, let's treat it that way.
Yeah.
So that you're safely, you know, you're getting your protein from eggs, beef, jerky, chicken, a whey protein powder. And I know this is protein focused, but I love the exercise separate. Like I keep tell everybody, like it's a separate bucket. Like it's good for you for other reasons. Mm-hmm. But don't count on that for your weight loss or your weight maintenance.
Dude, we drop the truth bomb on people all the time. It's my favorite thing to say. And Jason and Natalie know this because people are like, oh, but I worked out so hard. I'm like, yo, fitness happens at the gym. Weight loss happens in the kitchen. You need to divorce those two. And people are just like, what? But you're telling me. And I'm like, I'm telling you, if you want to lose a massive amount of weight, if you want to focus on your weight, you got to focus on what you're eating. What is going in here? Mm-hmm. Working out is going to help your bones and your attitude and your mindset and longevity and blood. And it is essential. So keep doing that, but just divorce the two.
It's really amazing as the more I dive into bariatric life, that all of these notions and nuances that I was taught growing up or just learned growing up, they're really untrue. Like they're really just not correct in what people say. I was always told, you know, like same thing, April, like if you work out, you know, you can eat whatever you want and then you'll lose weight. Like that's just not true. Same with the protein thing. Oh, if you just eat a bunch of protein, you'll have big muscles. Like that's not true. And I think that's why I love these conversations because I just continue to get my mind blown.
Every time, man, every time. Okay. Two questions popped into my head. And I think Jason, you and I are Nat and I, we've talked about both of these things before. How much protein can our bodies digest or absorb at one time? Is there a limit?
It's been around for a long time. Some number, 30 grams. Is 30. That what you're
doing? No more than 30 in a sitting. So like, if you're doing like a 30 gram protein shake at a 20 gram bar, so I'm getting 50. And the people are like, no, it doesn't work. Right. Like, I can't math. So you got to break it down for those of us who can't math.
So I've tried to find this somewhere. I don't know where it came from. And what I've read and understand, like an extra calorie is an extra calorie and extra calories are stored as fat. So if you don't need 50 grams of protein, that extra is going somewhere else. And the 30 grams may have come in some weird mathematical, like the amino acid pool and how much of all that. But I think the problem, a better way to think about it is, okay, I had a 30 gram shake and I had a 20 gram bar and I only need 60 grams all day. The risk in that thinking is for the rest of the day, you're like, doesn't matter what I eat. I got my protein in.
Right.
So it sets you up for a little more temptation, maybe.
Well, that makes sense because if you're jamming in all of your foods that are going to keep you satiated throughout the day in one meal, then you could potentially be like starving yourself later on in the day. Or, right, the other thing that popped into my head is, could you overdo it on protein? Like, is there a risk of like, You know, yeah. I mean, if you're eating 300-400 grams of protein a day, is that going to be detrimental to your health?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So, you know, you can have too much of anything. And so the risk with too much protein first comes in kidneys. So your kidneys are processing everything out. And so if you have way too much protein, you could have kidney damage. And too much is going to be like up there, like 120, 50 grams a day, 150 grams a day all the time.
Okay.
That's very general. So if you had kidney problems before surgery, you want to watch out. And I say a lot that you don't need more protein because you've had weight loss surgery than anyone else of your same height and weight. You just have to focus on it more because you have a little space to get it in.
So if you're somebody who's incorporated a lot of strength training and things like that into your kind of your routine, is that higher protein still as detrimental as somebody who has maybe less of a hardcore workout in their routine?
That's a good question. No. And the extra, I'm thinking about the equations that we use. The extra is like 20% extra for like hardcore working out. It's not double, you know?
Oh. And I'm still like, my mind is still blown. So we don't need more. I don't understand how I'm just learning all of these things. It makes me so angry and yet intrigued at the same time. We don't need more protein than people who have not had bariatric surgery. It's just that we have not to be.
Yeah. Right.
It just has to be our focus because we have such little room. So they don't want us filling up on fibrous vegetables and things that are going to fill the pouch up before we get our protein in. So that's why it's the most important part of the meals that we consume.
And we were probably, I mean, I never tracked before surgery. So we could have been eating, you know, double, triple the amount of protein that we are getting and that the average person could be needing. So to us, like getting 90 to 100 grams of protein, that seems like wild, but also we've never tracked before. So we don't even know what we were eating before. We have nothing to compare it to. So maybe it just seems like we're getting this exorbitant amount, but really it's average.
My version of tracking pre-op was making sure that I got all my order in the bag because it would be like a multiple orders. So I had to make sure that all the burgers were there and that the fries were the right size. So that's how I tracked pre-op.
Oh my God, dude, Jason, you read my mind. I was like, I'm going to ask Jason how much protein he thinks he got based on how many burgers or steaks he would eat.
I can't. Okay. So for those of you that listen and know, my food funeral the night before I started my pre-op liquid diet was a 22-ounce porterhouse, double mashed potatoes and mac and cheese. So I don't know how much protein is in a 22-ounce porterhouse, but I know that there was nothing left in that poor little box that it came in except a bunch of knife marks where I tried to dig through everything to get the steak cut so I could eat it faster.
Well, what's 22 times 7? I can't do that.
Well, I don't know.
Hold on. Hold, please.
I've already professed that I cannot math. So. I'm not even going to act like I'm.
154.
Boom, son. And that was my last meal of that day.
You didn't eat protein for like a week after surgery.
I already had two other meals that day that were probably just as bad. So your boy was flying high on the protein that day. I was probably rocking 300 grams of protein that day. Oh, yeah.
But I mean, all that my brain is doing is just now that we're starting to really get an in-depth understanding of macros, not only we were taxing our body because of the physical weight, look at what our bodies were having to do to process the food that we were consuming.
Well, it explains why I was told by a doctor in an emergency room situation that I had at one point, he asked me how much alcohol I drank in a day. And I'm 46 years old. And I've never drank alcohol ever. Mm-hmm. And I said, I've never drank. And he's like, what do you mean? And I was like, I don't drink. And he's like, what the hell do you do? And I said, I don't know. What's the question? And he's like, well, your liver enzymes are high like an alcoholic. And I'm like, well, I was like, I consume shit tons of greasy meat and I take ibuprofen like they're Tic Tacs. I was like, because I was suffering from real bad migraines at the time. So I was taking handfuls of Excedrin migraine around the clock. And he was like, he said, how much do you take? And I said, until the pain stops. And he's like, well, do you like your liver? And I was like, well, we've grown attached over the years. You could say, yeah, we're pretty chummy. And he's like, well, if you don't want to lose it, he's like, you need to quit. And I was like, well, I don't know if I can do all that. Like, that seems to be a lot, Doc. Like, now it makes sense.
I am like blown away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I always do this to myself and I probably shouldn't, but I often think, what would my life have been like if I had had this information before bariatric surgery? Mm.
I mean, the grass is greener, right?
I was like, I know for me, it would have made a damn bit of difference. I would have been like, oh, that's cool. I would have kept it moving. I would have got on the way to McDonald's to get more cheeseburgers and been like, oh, that's cool. I hope you have a good time. Like,
I mean, all that, I mean, I think about this because with my clients and my patients, it's like, I have to think about, why do I do what I do? It's because all that information is out there. But it doesn't become real until you want it. It's kind of like surgery. You can think about surgery all the time and you can like go to the, like I've had so many patients come do the whole pre-op. Nope, not doing it. Cancel surgery. Come back 6 months later, cancel surgery again. And you have to be all the way ready.
And I think too, like, you know, I come from a family of alcoholics and a saying in our family is, the most educated about alcoholism are alcoholics. The most educated about weight loss and what you need to do to lose weight are those who are obese. We have tried everything. We've heard everything. I don't think if I was sitting in this Zoom podcast recording, if I was 400 pounds, not even thinking about surgery, and someone told me the information that we are receiving today, I don't think I would be processing it the way that I am now, because I wasn't ready. I'm not in the same headspace as I was. So I think, you know, April, I know you do ask those questions to yourself a lot, but I think you're doing yourself a disservice because you wouldn't be processing it the same way.
Let yourself off the hook.
Yeah, no. And I definitely do. And Jeannie, I was trying to frantically write down what you just said, because that really like stuck me in a place that I think my heart is supposed to be, right? That the info's out there, but we won't absorb it until we're really ready, right? Which is true. And I guess I just feel, it is so true when you are, you know, it's like one of those things. It's like, I didn't realize there were so many Subarus in the world until I started driving one. And then it's like, every car is a Subaru, right? And you're like, oh my God. Well, you know, this information was there, but I think really living it and then really wanting a desire to understand at that micro level, right? Like I want to understand macros on the micro level, because I really want to know how my body functions. And I guess we hear things or we absorb things or we take things in, you know, at a different level when we're so engaged in that learning process and really wanting to understand the why behind things. So, yes.
It also creates a level of respect for our bodies and ourselves for how far we've come, given the abuse we've put ourselves through. Because I like to try to tell people that I was one of the healthiest fat people that you could ever have met when I was at 468 pounds, because I didn't have diabetes, even though I should. I was barely even pre-diabetic. So a lot of the things that people, oh, I bet you suffer from this and you have this and you probably did. I'm like, no, honestly, I'm like one of the healthiest fat people, you know, like when in reality I'm on like at 40 years old, I'm on like 10 medications and four of those were blood pressure meds, because even on blood pressure meds, I have high blood pressure. And I'm talking like the highest recorded that I have on file is 217 over 179. And I drove myself to the ER. The lady was like, how'd you get here? I'm like, I drove. She's like, what do you mean? I was like in a car, like I drove here. She's like, you sit down before you fall down. I was like, actually, I feel fine. Like, I'm good. Like, I don't know what the problem is. She's like, well, you're about to have a stroke. Like, that's the problem. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, let me lay down. Like, my bad. I'm not a doctor. I don't know.
Well,
yeah, I had no idea.
Our bodies adjust, or we force them to adjust, or we ignore them, right?
Oh,
because
yeah. I was into that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's why it's so hard when we see pictures of our old self and we're like, I did not look like that. It's like, oh no, sweetheart, you look like that. Your brain, your heart, your soul, everything was just trying to convince you that no, it's okay. Stay the course. You'll figure it out. But on the outside, it was straight on like, I mean, Jason, I remember when I first saw a picture of you at your heaviest, I was like, how did you, like, you look like you were dead. You were literally a walking corpse. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. That was the worst thing that, like I said before, the craziest thing I ever heard my doctor say was that I was actively dying. I was like, oh, if that sounds serious.
Yeah. My mom used to always just say, oh, you look puffy. I can tell that you ate something, and saying it in a nice way ish, but you know, saying you look puffy. And I would say, I don't look puffy. I don't know what you're seeing. And then I look at all those pictures and I was like, girl, you puffy. Like you were like, hello, what didn't you see? But I, for the longest time, I just didn't even see it.
But you know, I think what I'm so happy and excited about Berry Nation, because clinics and dietitians and support groups can do so much, but not everything you need, because you can be so prepared for surgery. You can read every binder, read every Facebook group, talk to your dietitian 12 times, but until after surgery, the emotional change and the physical change and the, like, everyone else is still eating and I'm done after two bites. Like,
yeah. Yes. No, you need that support in the moment as you are going through the change. Mm-hmm. And you just don't know what you don't know until you're there. Mm-hmm. And it's such a powerful resource to be able to, you know, maybe for the first time say, I don't know this. And instead of thinking, and I don't know where to go, you know where to go now, right? You're like, oh, I don't know this. And that part of inside of you that is desperate to get out says, but you need to know this. So you got to figure out where you're going to get this information. And, you know, the whole point of Berry Nation is to bring the resources to the patients, right? Because finally we have a voice. Finally, we feel like we can say, hey, we need this and y'all didn't provide it. So we're going to do it ourselves, because you thought that was it. And we're telling you, it was not it. Mm-hmm. It was absolutely not it. And we're just so thrilled that so many experts agree with us and are willing to offer their expertise in a place that we can all go to gather it. Because everybody wants us to be successful. We want us to be successful. We want our friends to be successful. I want Jason and Natalie to rock it for the rest of their lives. And we're going to do that when we work as a community. Mm-hmm. When we have these conversations and when we're okay to say, like, hey, I was a walking corpse. Cool. Let's talk. We're okay with that. We're here to love you. Right.
So what I'm hearing Jeannie say is that Berry Nation is the complete protein and the others incomplete protein. I mean,
are we getting that on shirts? Because I think that needs to be on a shirt.
I'm writing it down right now, friends. You would, Jason. Oh my God. Oh my God.
No, I've been sitting on that for like 3 minutes waiting on you. I was like, and I was worried about Nat, because I'm like, Nat's going to say it and she's going to run it and it just takes all my good stuff.
Oh, whatever. You steal my good stuff all the time. I have to put myself on mute.
That's because Nat and I are connected in that way.
That is true. The more and more I get to know you two, you are absolutely connected on wavelengths that I cannot tap into. And thank God for that. Oh, so Jeannie, two questions that we'd like to ask you to wrap up. The first one is about our macro goals, our protein goals, the further we move out from surgery. Do they change and should they change? And are there scenarios that fit both of those questions?
When you're talking percentages, they change because it's a higher percentage at first because you can't fit much else in. They change based on your life, like Jason mentioned, if you're really working out and lifting weights or you're running all the time, like you might need more. If you're making a baby, you're going to need more. So yeah, it changes. But I don't think it changes as significantly as people think. You know, you're not going from needing 60 a day to needing 250 a day. You're going from 60 to 80 or 80 to 100.
Okay. Because we get the question all the time, and I know you see it all the time in Berry Nation too. People just want to know, what are my macros? What are my macros? And it's like, we are all individual bodies and we're going to need different levels. And we really do have to work with a professional and or be our own scientist to kind of figure out what those levels are, because it's so dependent on who we are as humans. I know the ASMBS kind of sets these guidelines, but even their guidelines are very broad and kind of magnanimous, whatever the hell that word is, right? Like they're just kind of like, they're fluffy, like, because they know that they can't jam everybody in the same box.
Right. And you, not only just like activity and like body, but you like, do you like to eat a lot of vegetables? Do you like a lot of fish? Like that's going to change too. So it is a little experimenting. Like maybe you start with a certain percentage and then you like, I'm not really satisfied, and you adjust a little bit. And it's funny, we talked about how long I've been doing this. Like there was no iPhone when I started, so there were no apps. And so we didn't talk about macro percentage with patients after surgery. It was just like, it's protein and some fiber. And
it was like Little House on the Prairie time. We're like Laura Ingalls Wilder out there.
I mean, everything was written, you know, like binders and books and logs and.
That's how pen to paper. I mean, I had my first surgery was in 2009. So they would literally have you write everything down. I mean, I didn't even look at nutrition labels, because my surgeon was just like, just get X ounces of chicken or X ounces of beef. I literally had like a laminated sheet that was like, these are the type of portions that you should be having. But there were no like check the labels. There was no, none of that, I guess, nutritional literacy that we have now. It really literally felt like the Old West or whatever, like the prairie times.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the other thing that popped into my brain is that, and again, we can't change what we don't track, right? We don't know what to change if we don't have the data, which is why in March, if you're listening in March, we're focusing on tracking. But we know that tracking can be triggering for some people, and it's just sometimes downright a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
But to know that if you figured out what the macro contents were of certain meals, then you could pre-make those meals for the day or the week. And you go, nope, I get 22 grams in the morning because I have overnight oats and an egg. And then I have this for lunch and it's got this many, right? So you can build your tracking budget in that way. You can use paper pencil. You can use an app. It doesn't matter how you do it. The point is that you do it in a way that's meaningful and valuable for you. But you only figure that out if you try it. And then you keep trying it if that one doesn't feel right, right? The Goldilocks approach.
Mm-hmm. And that protein, I like that you said 20 grams in the morning, spread it out. Like protein is important, but it's important to be part of every meal, not just get it in and be done with it.
Yep. And I really strive for that. I think all of us do, right? I have protein at every single meal. Sometimes I have popcorn, so maybe not protein there, but right. Every meal, every like legit meal is protein. And I will start with that, but that's the way to always make sure that you're getting it right off the top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I build my plate off of protein. Okay. What protein am I going to have? Okay. What tastes good with that? You know, I go from there. And yeah, I mean, popcorn is a snack. It's not a meal.
Oh. Popcorn is a straight up, like it's either popcorn or wine. What am I choosing? Either popcorn.
Throw some Gin Pro on that popcorn. Just dust it with some Gin Pro. Shake it up, call it good.
I put nutritional yeast in my popcorn and that has some protein.
And almonds. I sprinkle almonds in there.
Ooh, that's a good idea. Yeah. Nutritional yeast is so good in popcorn. April, you have to try it.
Oh my God. How did I just need to walk away. My brain is literally like,
a broker. I love April. It's my goal of every single podcast for me. At the end, is she broken? Good. I did.
That's how we know. Good things have happened in a conversation. Yeah. Oh my gosh. All right. So Jason, Nat, and myself, I want us to share with our friends and listeners and watchers what our favorite sources of protein are. Jeannie, I would love for you though to share with us what are some protein sources that you always recommend to people because they're just such high quality, they're dense with protein, they're going to hit kind of all these different macro and micronutrient buckets.
The top three that come to my mind are the tuna packs, because like healthy omega-3s, healthy fats, they're 2.5 or 3 ounces and they're flavored and they're done. Easy. Cheese sticks. Maybe it's because I have a kindergartner, but they're 1 ounce, they're 8 grams, they're portable. Like you can add them to an apple. You can add them to a piece of deli meat, like perfect calcium. And then eggs, same, because like one is easy to like visualize and count, lots of good nutrition and different nutrients that you need, not just protein, but yeah, some fat, but other micronutrients and vitamins. So those are the top three, I would say, just that are easy.
Are there any plant or non-animal sources of protein that are complete?
So interesting. Yeah. Soy actually is.
Oh, okay. So tofu, tempeh, all those, that would be a complete protein source.
Yeah.
Okay. And a lot of protein in a small serving. I do know that because I do eat a lot of tofu. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And Jason, tofu is good with just salt and pepper. Like just salt and pepper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jason, when you come to my house in April, you are eating tofu. The hell you are not. I'm going to make you the most, Natalie's had it before. I'm going to make you the most bomb ass tofu meal and you are going to love it. Do not make me sick of your wife on you.
I will try. I will commit to trying it. That's all I can do because I'm a guest in your home and I will do that.
Man. Either you try it or you sleep it on the cliff.
As long as you don't hand me a square of dish sponge and just go, here, it's great, it's perfect. Like, I will not, because Sarah has tried it 100 different ways. And the only way I've ever consumed it and didn't know any better was when she made ricotta bake. And she used tofu instead of ricotta, and I had no idea. I'll give her that one. She snuck that one over on me, and she wins the day for that one. But that's the only one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, tell us, Jason, what's your favorite way to get in protein?
I mean, y'all know I'm an easy country boy. I'm from Oklahoma, so it's beef, it's steak, it's all the beefs and the chickens and the very little bit of ham, because I don't know, since post-op, salt is a huge thing for me. So sodium, like high salt, like it's hard for me to even do a piece of deli meat. That's so high in sodium for me, like it kills me now. So I usually stick to beef and chicken that I can season myself, because that way I can control how much gets in there, because it's just a lot. I've switched over to a lot of seasonings that are very light in, because I used to keep go through tubs of Lowry seasoning salt because I would just on everything, and now it's very light.
Okay. Well, and you are the meat master. I mean, your Instagram stories are always filled with the amazing things that you created at your house. So
yeah. I try. I've been working on that. That's my therapy. That's very therapeutic for me. Like, I did ribs over the weekend and it was a 2-day process. It took all weekend to get it done. And by the time it was all said and done, I had like a rib and was done, and I haven't eaten it since, because that's just, I really care about cooking it for other people and watching them eat it than I do eating it myself. So.
Well, it can be a really joyful place when you have that relationship with food, right? Where it is the process, you get a lot of joy out of the process and preparing it and you know, making it for other people, but that we don't have to go overboard when it comes to our time to eat it. It's a lot of fun. I mean, food is cultural. Food is connection to friends and family. Food is not contraband, mm-hmm. right? But we have to make sure that we are using it in healthy ways. Miss Nat, what about you? What's your favorite way?
I think number one is eggs. I used to joke with my family about opening a restaurant that was just eggs in every way that they can be prepared. I love eggs. So eggs, I would say chicken thighs, especially. I don't really like chicken breast since surgery. It's been really hard for me to eat unless it's like super moist. I know people hate that word, but I had to use it. And then I'm gonna sneak in a bonus one. So my tied for the bottom number three is tofu, but I also really love I eat tofu like once a week now.
I mean, look at you, girl.
Yeah. Cause I'm like, I'm tired of chicken or beef or whatever. Like I don't, it's easy. But tied is also cheese. The Tillamook has those little 1 ounce. And you can get like sharp cheddar, mild cheddar. So I just buy once every couple weeks, I just buy a couple different kinds, and they're so easy, so delicious and flavorful. I got kind of burnt out on string cheese personally. I ate so much of it the first 6 months of surgery, essentially. So now I'm onto like the little Tillamook cheeses.
I want to add one. Since you had cottage cheese, but only the good cultured brand. Like,
ooh, that one's good.
So good. Like the name, it is good.
And the brands really do all taste different, hands down. Yes. Yes. Well, I think my number one way, and this is going to sound, well, maybe it's not, is profi. I absolutely, my morning is not started until I have had my profi. And that is just, that for me is number one. And then I've been really jamming on tofu. I know you guys sound crazy, but I fry a bunch up and then I've been making myself a tofu bowl. So, you know, a couple ounces of tofu, some sprouts, a little bit of like vegan cheese or real cheese and croutons and salad dressing. I mix it all up. Oh my God. It's just flavor explosion. It's crispy. It's crunchy. It just tastes fresh and it's different, right? It's something different. And Jason.
While you were describing
I've never seen somebody get so excited to eat a dish sponge. I just haven't. And it's like she talked about that like I talk about steak. Like her eyes lit up. Like I just don't.
I'm telling you, your life's about to change in April, my friend.
Oh, easy now. Don't start going. You're going to be coming. So disappointed.
Or the world is going to be shocked that now.
I promise Jason, you, I will not leave your house talking about. Let's go grab a whole brick of tofu. Like it's like.
All right, Jeannie, my friend, we love to give our guests kind of the floor at the end, and we would love to know what's the number one thing that you want people to know about protein before or after bariatric surgery.
It is essential, yes, but it is not like the savior. You gotta have balance.
Ooh,
I like that. Drop the mic, you did it.
Jeannie, thank you so very much for joining us. Where can people follow you or find you on social media?
So I spend a lot of time on Instagram at Barry B-A-R-I Success R-D, mostly making silly reels. And then jeannieboyer.com if you want to send an email.
Yes. And you guys, and Jeannie, as you can see, she's a real lovely human. So if you send her a direct message on Instagram, she will respond. If you are a member of the Berry Nation community, she is very active in the Berry Nation community. If you send her a question there or you post a comment on something that she has posted or shared, she will respond. And in March, you're doing a live every single week, like a Q&A that are just dedicated to these big macronutrients. And then spoiler alert, Jeannie is going to be joining us at our virtual bariatric meetup, where the theme is building a balanced and beautiful bariatric plate. It's going to be amazing. We are so excited to welcome her and somebody else for joining us who I can't spoil all the secrets at once, but there are two experts joining us for this one. So if you are not a member of the Berry Nation membership community and you want to know what it's all about, it's just basically the most rad place that we can be as a patient. We have to the point where it's almost daily support groups led by therapists. Jeannie's leading like nutritional support groups. We have experts that teach classes. We have peers that lead peer-to-peer supports. If you are looking for that extra layer of support along your journey, Berry Nation could be a really wonderful place for you. Just head to our website, www.berrynation.com, and you can try it out for 14 days. It might not be the right fit for you, and that's all good, but you have 14 days to see if it is. So definitely check it out. Jeannie, again, thank you so very much for joining us. We appreciate all that you do for our community and your time tonight in this very important conversation.
Thank you, guys. It's a lot of fun.
We always have a good time. Mm-hmm. That's just, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Nat, we have a little bit of housekeeping to do. Is there something you'd like to share with our friends?
Yes. So every Sunday is our favorite day of the week because we get to share a little bit more about you guys, our wonderful Berry Nation community. Every Sunday, I post a picture and a little bit about you guys. And it's always so fun for me to like write everything down. I get to learn about you guys. And then I get to share and watch the community learn about you as well. It's just, it's a really good time. All you have to do is go to the link in our bio, fill out the Shout Out Sunday Google form, upload a picture that you're proud of. It does not have to be a before and after. It can just be you, whatever you are proud of, happy in, most comfortable in. Upload that photo. And then every Sunday, I just, as they come in, I just go ahead and upload them. And we love it. We get to celebrate you guys and give back to you guys in a different way. You do not have to be a paid member of Berry Nation. This is mostly Instagram and podcast listeners that are on our Berry Nation page. So go ahead and get in our little bio there and submit your form because I love it. It's the best.
It is. It's, and I just love seeing the community celebrating everyone else. I love all the comments that come. They're like, this is amazing. Or I never thought about that. Or your story is so inspiring. It's the whole point, right? The more that we can share our story, the more we're going to help somebody else. I've got some in my recipe that's going to help you. And if we have the space and the platform to share it, we're going to do that. So Jason, my friend, you want to take us out?
Yes, ma'am. Jeannie, thank you again, not only for your wisdom and knowledge today, but for all the things that you do inside Berry Nation to help the others as well. And thank you to everybody who has liked, shared, subscribed, spread the word, told a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend, because you helping us is helping us to help you and other people that don't quite know that we exist yet. So can't thank you enough for that. Don't forget that you can still leave us ratings on your favorite podcast player as well as YouTube channel as well. You can also leave us voice messages on Anchor that we can incorporate into future versions of the podcast so that you can get your voice heard along with ours and we can answer questions if you have any. We love to do that. We also love to feature you in that way as well. And please do not forget at the end of the day that you've got this, we've got you, and we will see you next time.
Awesome. Thanks, Jeannie.
Bye-bye.